Good morning. I think we have reached critical mass. So let me open us with a word of prayer, and then we can go into our various Sunday school sessions. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have given to us to come apart from the busyness of our lives and be reminded of who we are in you. We thank you also for this place that you've provided for us. And we pray that we would use the day and the place and our time wisely to your glory. In Christ's name, amen. So if you are in the younger Sunday school classes, this is your cue. And if you are not in the younger Sunday school classes, I think I've still got some handouts. If you are interested, on the back table, we are continuing in our study of the Pilgrim's Progress. The story thus far is Christian and Faithful have gone to Vanity Fair. And there they are arrested, Faithful is martyred, and Christian finds a new companion named Hopeful. Hopeful is converted through the testimony of Faithful. They're in Vanity Fair. And it's interesting as the story progresses later, the second part of the progress, which is the story of Christiana, Pilgrim's Progress Part 2, is when Christiana and her company arrive in Vanity Fair, they discover that there's actually a large group of Christians living in Vanity Fair. And so all of this is the testimony of Faithful in his martyrdom. But anyway, Christian picks up Hopeful, and they continue on. The first person they come across is a guy named Buy-Ins, Mr. Buy-Ins. Now, I'm assuming that name doesn't immediately make you go, oh, yeah, I know what this is about. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay, so what is the first question of the Shorter Catechism? What is the chief end of man? What is the question asking? What's the point? What's the purpose? What's man's direction? And so Bunyan is using a term that is very common in his day. He's writing around the same time that the catechism is being produced and all of that sort of stuff. So the end of man is what is man's purpose. So therefore we can say, what about buy-ins? His purpose is skewed. His purpose in life is off. And we get a better picture of that when Buy-Ins tells about the family and the city that he comes from, Lord Turnabout, Lord Time Server, Lord Fair Speech, Lord Smooth Man, Lord Facing Both Ways. The person or the pastor of the town of Fair Speech is Two Tongues. And his wife is an honorable, virtuous woman who is the daughter of Lady Feigning, or Faker, pretending. His great-grandfather was a man of distinction who made his living as a waterman by rowing one direction and looking the other direction. And that's how he's made his money as well. He's become a gentleman by rowing in one direction and looking in another direction. Bunyan's whole purpose in pulling out this humorous caricature of all of these people is giving us a picture of what it is that is fake on the Christian pilgrimage. Buy-In says, hey, I'm a pilgrim right along with you, and I'm happy to join your company, happy to walk along with you. He said, there are only two things that are really important to me, two principles that I live by. The first is, never row against wind or tide. And the second is, only go out when religion is in silver slippers and the sunny portion of the street. Now, does this sound contemporary at all? Does this sound like some 400-year-old irrelevant geezer that isn't speaking to our own hearts and to our own culture and to the conditions of our day? These are the only two things that Bayens, this man who we know by virtue of his name, has his priorities misdirected, has his direction in life misdirected. The only two things that he is really serious about is, hey, don't push against prevailing opinion. If everybody is moving in this direction, move with them. Don't ever row against the wind or the tide. And secondly, the only time that I'm going to be associated with religion is when it is profitable for me and pleasant for me. And so Christian responds with, you're not a Christian. We've got no business walking with you. And so later, Christian and Hopeful distance themselves from Bayens, and three other men come up to Mr. Bayens. One is Mr. Save the World, Hold the World, I'm sorry, Mr. Hold the World, Mr. Money Love, and Mr. Save All. Holding on to the world, loving money, and grabbing everything you can and hoarding it to yourself. And so they say to Bayens, who are these two guys up in front of us? And Bayens says, oh, they're pilgrims like us. But then he gives the characterization, and I want you to hear, so this is Bunyan, the Puritan, saying this is what those who are opposed to the Puritans believe about us. This is their characterization of us. And I think it's clever because how often have we heard this said about Reformed Christians? Their view of the Puritans, and they're talking about Christian and Hopeful. The Puritans are so rigid and so love their own notions and do also lightly esteem the opinions of others that let a man be never so godly, yet if he jumps not with them in all things, they thrust him quite out of their company. So rigid, so set in their own opinions, that it doesn't matter how godly a man is, if you don't jump to their tune on everything they have to say, they're done with you. Now, there is a sense in which, you know, we can be obnoxious and we can be this characterization. But he's applying this to the entire Puritan movement. And it's coming from a person who we know has his purpose in life misdirected. And so Bunyan is then going to open up. How does this mean that his purpose in life is misdirected? We know by his name he's misdirected. We know by his company and the characterizations of the people that he comes from that he's misdirected. He gives this very harsh and critical view of the Puritans as these narrow-minded, you've got to jump with me on all things or you're out, doesn't matter how godly I am. We've already seen a problem with his core values, which is I'm only going to be religious when it's to my advantage, and I'm never going to move against the prevailing tide, the prevailing current. In religion. And so we've already seen a problem there. But then Bunyan's going to unpack it for us when he brings along the other three companions, Mr. Hold the World, Mr. Money Love, and Mr. Save All. And he does so specifically, if you're familiar with Puritanism, with Puritan practice, cases of conscience. Is a big thing amongst the Puritans. They'll raise a problem They'll raise a particular situation, and then they'll seek to apply scriptural wisdom in terms of how this situation should be lived out. And so, I think it's Hold the World that raises it. Yeah. Mr. Hold the World. Well, first, his response to the characterization of the Puritans. And again, it's very clever. It's very humorous. He says, so Mr. Byens is saying, I only walk in religion when he's in his silver slippers and on the sunny side of the street. And Mr. Hold the World says, actually, that's wise and godly. God sends the sun and he sends the rain. And only a fool would walk in the rain. So God expects you to only walk in the sun, right? God expects you to only be committed to Christianity when it's pleasant, because God sends pleasant things and he sends painful things. And so when it's painful, you just stay at home. When it's sunny, you go out and participate. And then he also says, both Job, Abraham, and Solomon were righteous men and were rewarded for their righteousness with great wealth. Job, you know, after the testing, gets more than he had before. Abraham, clearly, in pursuing God, became a very, very wealthy man. Solomon, very wealthy man. So clearly, God wants people to gain wealth and happiness through following him. This is a guy writing 400 years ago, and what did he just describe? The health and wealth gospel. 400 years ago, this guy describes exactly what much of our quote-unquote evangelical Christian culture believes is the truth. And he puts it under the category of Mr. Hold the World. So again, Bunyan is very, very relevant. Very relevant. The Pilgrim's Progress is very relevant. So anyway, we go on. He brings up these cases of conscience. And the first case of conscience is, should a minister change both his style and conviction in order to gain a higher position? Position which either is more prominent or pays more. And then secondly, should a tradesman become religious in order to further his business contacts or find a rich and good wife? Those are the cases of conscience. Should a minister change his style, and should a minister change his convictions in order to advance his career professionally? And secondly, should a layperson become religious in order to have better business contacts amongst other good people, advance his own financial situation, or in order to find a good wife? Now, again, is this ancient dusty stuff sitting on a shelf somewhere that we have to somehow morph in order to speak to our own day? Bunyan's speaking to the heart, and he's speaking to the issue of hypocrites. And I love how Mr. Hold the World comes along and defends the position. He says, for a minister to change his style is actually demonstrating humility. You don't like the way I preach. You say I need to preach 15-minute sermons and I need to bring in a lot more illustrations. well, you know, I believe that the way that I preach is right, but because I'm a humble man, I'll change, and I'll change my style of preaching, and we'll do 15 minutes all with Disney illustrations. You want me to change my convictions in order to become more prosperous, in order to move up the career ladder? Well, for me to do that is actually showing that I take my calling seriously. For me to change my convictions in order to move up the career ladder is a sign that I am committed to the church. I am committed to moving up as far as I can in the church, which is a sign of me pursuing the calling. Because isn't that what I was called to do? Aren't I called to be the best pastor I can be, the most influential pastor I can be, the most effective pastor I can be? Well, if I can be more influential, more effective by abandoning gospel principles, then that shows how serious I am in moving up. Yeah, of course the man ought to change his style and change his convictions. Same way with the tradesman. These are good things. God wants us to prosper in business. God wants us to be around good people and to have good marriages. So, of course, in pursuing religion for the sake of these good things, you're pursuing God. And it doesn't matter how you're motivated, as long as you're doing these things are good things. And so absolutely you should become religious in order to gain further business contacts, in order to find a pretty girl that's not going to cheat on you in church. Absolutely, this is a good thing. It's a good thing that you're desiring, business contacts and healthy families. And if the only reason that you're doing this is purely mercenary, that is good itself, because you're pursuing something good. And they all agree. Money, love, hold the world, and save all. Yeah, wow, this is brilliant. Brilliant exegesis. You are dead right, man. This is amazing. And so they say, well, let's see how these two guys up here would respond. And so they walk up to Christian and Hopeful. And they've had this discussion, and they've come to this place of absolute assurance and conviction. They walk up to Christian and Hopeful, and Christian responds, and he's absolutely horrified that they would say this. And so Christian's response is, first off, to the minister changing, he says, look, if it's unlawful to follow Jesus for the sake of bread, and he's referring to John 6, where Jesus feeds the 5,000, and then the next day, they're rowing around the sea to catch up with him because this has been amazing. And he says, you're coming to me just for the loaves and fishes. I don't want you to come to me for that. And then he goes into his cannibal metaphor and offends them and chases them all off. And Christian says, listen, if it's unlawful for people to follow Jesus for the sake of loaves and fishes, how much more is it unlawful to make his church the place where loaves and fishes are pursued? And, you know, again, I think that's profound, and I think it speaks not just to the issue of ministers, but to the issue of the church as a whole and to the issue of our lives. So at any rate, Christian's not buying into this brilliant logical exegesis that Money Love has expounded. And he also doesn't buy into whether the tradesman should pursue religion in order to further his contacts. He says, listen, you're describing people like the Pharisees, Judas the devil, and Simon the witch. Simon the sorcerer, you remember that? Simon Magus. He's the one that asked the apostles if they would sell him the ability to perform miracles. And they responded, your money perish with your soul. We've got nothing to do with this. And Judas Iscariot obviously sold our Lord for 40 pieces of silver. And so he says, you're describing these whitewashed sepulchres, these people that are righteous on the outside, inside are full of dead men's bones. You're describing people that are given to us in Scripture as evil people. And Bunyan says something, it's a quote I've got there in your handout. That man who will take up religion for the world will throw away religion for the world. And I think he's putting his finger on the problem. If we are induced to take up religion for those things that we're going to gain from it, we will throw it away. So the story continues. They move on, and they come to the hill of Lucre, L-U-C-R-E, which is what? Money. The hill of money. And there's a path off to the side, and there's a man there named Demas that is calling out to the travelers. Now, what do you think that's a reference to? Demas was the one, Paul says, Demas has forsaken me, loving the things of this world more. So Demas is standing there off to the side, and he's saying, hey, come on over here, come on over here. There's a silver mine here. You can enrich yourselves. And here's something interesting. Hopeful says, hey, this sounds like a good idea. Let's go do it. And Christian says to Hopeful, absolutely not. We cannot stray off this path. We cannot turn aside from this path. We've got to remain focused. So in this occasion, it's Christian who supports Hopeful from disaster. Well, they move on, and along comes buy-ins, money love, hold the world, save all. And, of course, when Demas says, hey, turn off to the side, they immediately turn off to the side. This is completely in keeping with their principles. And it's interesting, Bunyan says of them, I have no idea what happened. I don't know if they were killed. I don't know if they were injured. I don't know if they were enriched. I don't know what happened to them. But I do know this. They were never seen on the path again. And his point is, no matter what the outcome, whether you are enriched, whether you are killed, the point is, did you remain on the path? And they didn't, and were never seen again. So, I've got a number of quotes here at the very end from Alexander White. And he's the Scottish preacher in the 1800s that did an evening sermon series on the characters in The Pilgrim's Progress. And White has some helpful and fascinating things to say about buy-ins and about this section of the narrative. The first is, the great schoolmen, as they meditated on these matters, had a saying to the effect that all created things take their true goodness or their true evil from the end that they aim at. Just think about that for a moment. Vanity Fair is a place where the pilgrims are tempted by good things. And they say, nope, put their fingers in their ears, they press on, we buy the truth. But they're tempted not by, quote-unquote, evil things. They're tempted by spouses and lands and preferments and vocations. They're tempted by good things. And buy-ins is showing us that these good things themselves become evil depending on what our intention is. Well, the problem with that is that if we think about that for more than a minute or two, we will recognize that there's an awful lot of buy-ins in us. And White, specifically following Bunyan, pokes at the minister. Because the minister is a big part of this. How much of a person's ministry, or how much of my discouragement when I go home at the end of a Sunday service is there weren't enough bodies around here. I'm not doing enough. I'm not respected enough. I'm not, or how much, you know, after the service when people come up and go, great sermon, Pastor, do I go, yeah, yeah, you know, I want God to get the glory, but yeah, it's gonna reflect on me just a little bit too. There's a lot in my motivation as a minister that is very much poisoned by what is my chief end? Is it purely to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever? Or is it also to get some of the glory for me? is it also for me to look good and be respected and have people tell me how amazing I am? But also, as a Christian layperson, why are you doing what you are doing as a Christian? Why are you pursuing righteousness? Why are you pursuing godliness? Is there a sense that if I do these things, I'm going to be happy in my home? I'm going to be successful in my home. If I do these things, then I'm going to be more financially secure because I'm not going to be out there blowing my money on frivolous things or whatever. And if we go down deep into our hearts, and this is where Puritans are much on self-examination. If we go down deep into our hearts and examine our motives on a regular basis, the deeper that we go, the closer we come to seeing God eye to eye. Because it is God who searches the heart. The more we go down into what our motivations are, the closer we are to understanding ourselves as God understands us. And then the closer we are to following after Him. And that's something that a lot of people, myself included, are unenthusiastic about. Because going down deep into my heart and examining my motives and bringing them out and acknowledging the cesspool of buy-ins and money love and hold the world and save all and fair speech and two-tongued and all of that, that even in my obedience is flavored, I don't like. And so I avoid. But God searches the heart. And the deeper I go in, the closer I come to seeing Him face to face. So anyway, Alexander White says, go as deep into your motives as God goes, and you will be a wise man. Go as deep and as often as He does, and then you will soon come to see eye to eye with God, not only about your own thoughts, but about His thoughts too, and everything else. And then White closes this by saying, exhorting the Christians, pastors, lay people, to lean in, be intentional. And if you start from the one true foundation that we know, we love God because He first loved us. If we start there, then as we are growing closer to Him, as we are being more intentional about our relationship with Him, as we're being more intentional about our knowledge of Him and our obedience to Him, as we lean in and be intentional in these areas, then we're going to discover that we will rise far above, I love God because He first loved me, until you come to love Him for what He is in Himself, as well as for what He has done for you. And that's the beatific vision. That's what we're aiming for. To behold God and to be in love with Him for who He is. Not merely for what He has done for me. What He has done for me is amazing. It's overwhelming. And I'll be praising Him for eternity for that. But I want to rise above simply what He has done for me. To be in love with Him for who He is. And the whole problem of buy-ins, money love, hold the world, save all, fair speech, two tongues, the whole problem of all of that is they're simply looking to love God for what He does for them. And that's a good place to start. But it's something we need to rise above. So, there we have it. Buy-ins and that little vignette in the pilgrimage. Thoughts, questions, comments? Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Put so much value on people who are able to be humble and change their mind about something instead of someone who came to the truth and stayed within the truth their entire life.
Yeah. Some celebrity who has had some dramatic conversion experience instantly has an audience, whereas some, unknown slug who has just walked faithfully and humbly before his or her God, whatever.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. That's, sadly, that's in a lot of us. My little quip about theology is all theological debates are always about a girl. let's close in prayer and then go into our time of fellowship. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we see in this humorous and yet frightening portrait of the person and the people who are not driven by the right motives and the destruction that comes upon them. Help us, Father, to look down deep and see the Mr. Buy-ins, the Mr. Hold the World, the Mr. Save All, the Mr. Money Love, Fair Speech, Feigning, all of these things, see them in our own righteousness and righteous deeds and seek to mortify them, to put them to death. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.